Well, good morning. My name is Bob Hocut. You'll excuse my voice. I've been doing a lot of talking lately, and it's just sort of a wear out. Hopefully, we'll get through the end of this service and next. And today, we're starting a four-week journey, an Advent journey, in a series called The Best Christmas Ever. If I were to tell you that this package contained the one thing that would make your Christmas this year the best Christmas ever, what would be in it? If I were to tell you that this package contained the one thing that would make your Christmas this year the best Christmas ever, what would be in it? Would it be wealth or friends, maybe family, stuff, maybe a health thing, some other fill-in-the-blank kind of thing? For many people, this time of year, especially this time of year, is not much more than an exercise in despair and hopelessness. And there are countless reasons people feel this way, but everywhere they look, there's more turmoil, conflict, fear, political and social strife than the day before. Everywhere you look, especially these days, people seem to be divided over everything: masks and shots and mandates and curriculum and elections and politics and culture wars, and it's a rather endless list. However, we read in Romans 8:28, Paul says, God works all things for the good of those who love him. And yet society today seems less and less generous, less patient, less understanding, less loving, less godly, less everything good. And you could rightly wonder, where does it all end? I think that's why this year, many people, me included, want nothing more than for this year to end on a high and healthy note. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Christmas is a time of celebration. It's the time of year we celebrate Jesus coming to earth, sent by the Father for our redemption. Jesus, the light of God to all nations, came to show us the Father and to give us hope. Out of his humble beginnings came a miraculous journey into the world, and through his life and sacrifice, we can have an eternal hope and salvation. This year, we're taking an Advent journey to discover hope, peace, joy, and love of Christmas so that we can enjoy the best Christmas ever. Our journey starts in Isaiah 9, verse 2, and it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Isaiah wrote these words 700 years before the birth of Christ. From verse 1, we know that the people Isaiah is talking about are the ones that live in the land of Galilee. These are the gentle hillsides and the lakeshore where Jesus headquartered all his work. In the days of Isaiah, though, as a result of a civil war, the land was divided. This land was in the northern kingdom, and they were the first to suffer the invasion of the Assyrians. The Assyrians were a savage and brutal people, and their effectiveness in warfare struck terror in the Near Eastern world. Suffice it to say, God's warnings to the children of Israel through the prophet Isaiah went unheeded, and they refused to turn away from their detestable and sinful ways, give up their idols, and return to God. In short, they were slaughtered. As a result, in the time of Jesus, the Jewish people had nothing but disdain for that whole area. It was a poor, miserable, and uncomfortable place full of resettled peoples from other lands and from which nothing good ever came. Surrounded by idolatry and sinful and wicked evil nations, Isaiah says they were walking in darkness, in a land of deep darkness. Isaiah here is talking about spiritual darkness, the state of living apart from God. In Proverbs 4:19, we read, "But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." And just like the people living in Israel at the time of Christ, this notion of walking in darkness, separated from God, is the true character of us. Before we placed our faith in God. So as accurately as Isaiah describes the people at the time of Jesus, he's describing us. Before we accepted Christ, we lived in a state of darkness. We lived under the power of sin, shut up in unbelief, ignorant of ourselves and our condition, ignorant of sin and the danger that it exposes us to, ignorant of divine and spiritual things, ignorant of the grace of God, ignorant of the way of peace, life, and salvation by Christ, ignorant of the work of the Holy Spirit, and ignorant of the truths of the gospel. But Isaiah says they, and by extension we, walk on in darkness, not knowing where we are or where we are going. And it's to these people, Isaiah says, they have seen a great light. Folks, we are the people, and we have seen a great light. The light Isaiah talks about extends from eternity past to the eternal ages to come. It is a light that blazes its illuminating rays throughout this dark and sinful world, and the blackness that surrounds the world cannot overcome it. Jesus came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel as their Messiah and King, but he also came as the sin substitute for the whole world, for you and for me. He came as the light of the world, the life-giving light of men, and the bright light that shines in the darkness. In John 12:46, Jesus says, "I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who trust in me will no longer walk in darkness." It was Christ himself who walked among the people of Galilee. He preached to them and caused the light of his glorious gospel to shine into many of their hearts, removing their darkness and replacing it with hope. They not only saw Christ with their physical eyes, they saw him with the eyes of their heart. And we too can see Jesus with the eyes of our heart. And when we do, our darkness is removed and we see the bright light of hope. So we the people have seen a great light, and it is the light of hope. The light of Jesus not only represents hope, it is hope. This past year has seen quite a lot of sharp rhetoric and has our country and seemingly the whole world divided on all kinds of levels. Many folks are frustrated and angry and confused, fed up, and in many cases, they're just simply afraid. And if you listen closely, you can sometimes hear that same rhetoric from the people of God as it creeps in to the church. It's a very sad thing to hear God's people take up the memes of our increasingly godless society in God's house, no less, at the expense of their brothers and sisters in Christ. But I know that no matter what happens in the world, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Bright and Morning Star, Light of the World, will still be on the throne. His light continues to shine in the darkness, and those looking for it will find it. And Jesus will transform souls and marriages and families and relationships and workplaces and governments and nations, all suffering in turmoil, and give them hope. Folks, hope is the message of Christmas. I really like how Paul David Tripp expresses this thought. He writes, "Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus. Hope was what the angels sang about. Hope lay in the manger. Hope was worshipped by the shepherds. Hope was presented gifts from the Magi. The Advent story is a story of hope because it tells of the coming to earth of the one who is hope, Jesus. The one denied would come to rescue his deniers. The one rejected would move to save his rejectors. The one who had been rebelled against countless times would come to redeem the rebels. The one who had been replaced in people's hearts with an endless catalog of idols would invade the world he had made and rescue people from themselves. He came to serve, to suffer, to die, so that his kingdom would reign in the hearts of people. He came to seek and to save. He came to suffer and forgive. He came to rescue and restore. He came to call, draw, and love those who, without his grace, would continue to live for themselves. He came, and because he came, there is hope that sinners can be redeemed and the world can be renewed. Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus. If you're listening to me today and you do not know Christ and you think you are too far gone to be redeemed, or you think that what you've done is unforgivable, or you think that Jesus can't love you because of some fill-in-the-blank, hear what I have to say. Please hear me. God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God created you. God loves you, and God knew you before you were born. B.R. Jensen says it this way. He says, God wrote a book before you were born. The pages tell of your life and the lives you were created to touch. No one else will take the same path as you, meet the same people, or have a chance to show the love of God in the same way. You are unique, and so is your story. God knows your name, and no matter how much you messed up or how unworthy you think you might be, God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you so that you might be redeemed and forgiven and be called a son or daughter of God. This is what Christmas is all about. God sending his only son to die for you. And because Christ died for you, there is hope. There is hope for you and for your family, for your marriage, for your life. And it is found only in the person and work of Jesus Christ. If you want the hope of Jesus in your life, please come see me. See one of the elders. See Pastor John. See Pastor Alex. Let us help you hear the voice of Scripture explain what Christ has done for you. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And I encourage you, don't let the truth of God pass you by without acting on it. You can have the eternal hope of Jesus just in time for Christmas. And for all of us, on your absolutely worst day, Christ is for you. His light is shining on and through the darkness in your life. Trust in him, and God will fill you with joy and peace, and you will, perhaps for the very first time, have found hope in Jesus that no one can take away. I'd like to close with a little story. It comes from a book written in 1967 by Anna Talbot McPherson entitled They Dared to Be Different. It's a collection of 17 stories about outstanding Christians of yesteryear. And one of the stories is about a man, the great gospel singer, Ira Sankey. She writes, Ira Sankey was traveling by steamboat up the Delaware River on Christmas Eve, 1875. The sky was clear, the stars were out, and the air was balmy. Many of the passengers were gathered on deck, and someone recognized Mr. Sankey and asked him to sing something for them. He agreed to do so, but he paused and whispered a prayer to heaven for the choice of song. He then began singing in a clear voice that rang out over the quiet waters of the Delaware, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, much we need thy tender care. When the song was over, a rough-looking man came up and said to him, Mr. Sankey, did you ever serve in the Union Army? Why, yes, Sankey said, in spring of 1860. Do you remember doing picket duty on a bright moonlit night? I remember some bright moonlit nights, Sankey said. So do I, said the man, but I was serving in the Confederate Army. When I saw you standing at your post on that particular night, I thought to myself, that fellow will never get away from here alive. I raised my musket and I took aim. I was standing in the shadow, completely concealed, while the full light of the moon was falling on you. At that instant, just as a moment ago, you raised your eyes to heaven and began to sing. I took my finger off the trigger. The song you sang then was the song you sang just now. I heard the words perfectly. Those words stirred up many, many memories in my heart. I began to think of my childhood and my God-fearing mother. She had sung that song to me many, many times. When you had finished your song, it was impossible for me to take aim at you again. Ira Sankey threw his arms around the man and shared with him on that Christmas Eve the story of the Christ of Christmas, the Prince of Peace, the light of the world in whom all of our hope rests. And the man confessed his sins and acknowledged Jesus Christ as his Lord. If I were to tell you that this package contained the one thing that would make this Christmas your best Christmas ever, what would be in it? For Mr. Sankey, I believe it would contain an unfired musket ball. You see, 5 years earlier in 1870, Ira Sankey met Dwight L. Moody, and they formed a lifelong friendship and partnership, and they traveled the world spreading the gospel. Moody would preach, Sankey would sing. As for his Confederate companion, I believe it would contain hope. The hope found only in Jesus, forgiveness from sins and eternal life with the Father. You too can have hope this Christmas. This Christmas, perhaps especially this Christmas, in a world that desperately needs Jesus, you can have hope found only in Jesus and celebrate your best Christmas ever. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for Jesus, for the hope that he represents, for the hope that we can have if we just look for him. As we go through our Advent season, Lord, I just pray that we are aware of those who need that hope and that we're willing to do something about it. In the precious name of Jesus, Father, amen.